I was sucking his dick, and I just remember being like, I'm sorry, Val.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome to Real Talk Sundays, the podcast for the people by the people.
Because some people can't handle real talk no matter what day it is.
Ooh.
Ooh, we back.
We back. Guess what day it is?
Saturday.
Yeah, it's rejection day. Today, you all miss a lot, dude. Our lives fuck. We don't have time for a recap because we got to get into this, bro. We're talking about rejection, mostly because I've been on the dating front. It's been top of mind. You're in love. You're fucking engaged, all that shit. But we need to talk about rejection because it plays a huge role in our lives. And honestly, like, I think it's almost like the unsung hero, I think, of a lot of people's wounds. Like, you know what I mean? Like, paying tribute to rejection, paying respect to rejection, just talking about it a little bit. But, and as women too, like, we get rejected on a different level than men. Men get rejected, like, oh, man. So we want to talk about it. We want to open this bitch up. But I want to, like, I don't know. I guess I don't even know how to kick this off because all I can think about is like a couple of times where I've gotten rejected so hard, bro. And you were there for one of them, bro. Yeah. Oh my God. I haven't gotten rejected a lot in my life, but when I did, fuck it, go big or go home, dude. But I think ultimately, yeah, we gotta respect what respect is due when it comes to rejection because it's a big part of the dating game. It's a big part of life. And I'm not even just talking about rejection with like lovers. I'm talking rejection with jobs. You're not, you know, rejection within family members, like rejection with even like your healing sometimes, like your body's just not about it. So like full circle, but this specifically talking about like the dating realm and other people and how they've affected us. But girl, I gotta tell you. So my name is Amanda. I'm your host. This is Val. I'm fucking co-host with the most. But we talk about rejection. Kick us off, Ju. Like, what you got? What's in your back pocket?
Well, I just feel like, I mean, not everyone would probably know this about me because I'm just so popular.
Yeah, and like, so lovable.
But I think what the stories I'm going to tell kind of leads up to where I'm at now. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is cool. I'm not saying everything is meant to be, but it is. That's what I'm trying. It kind of is, right? So cut two of back in high school is where it all started. So in high school, I was that person that was shy. I was an athlete and that's all I did was sports, right? But when I had a crush on a guy, I'd be with my friends, and my friends were probably kind of dicks for this because I don't think, again, we're immature, you don't know, but a lot of my rejection was where you tell your friend, oh, they go, do you want me to talk to him for you?
Oh, God.
Do you know what?
Ask him to the dance. Yeah. See if he's,
yes. Oh my God. Like, do you want me to see like who he likes right now? Mm-hmm. Super immature shit. But I was caught in a lot of that because I would never flirt with anybody, or I'm just not a flirt in general. And so I got caught in the crossfire of a lot of AIM, instant messaging, you know, on the computer.
ASL.
And then my friend I'd be standing there. Again, it's like so vivid for me. I would be standing there and they would type, hey, what do you think of Val? Like they would like go into it and ask that. And then they would say, oh, I just see Val as a friend. If I could tell you how many times that happened to me.
If bitch had a dollar for every time she was friend zoned,
I'd be super rich.
She could afford this wedding.
And I think, for real, and I think back when I think now, I'm like, oh my God, that's exactly where my complex started. Because did it upset me in the moment? Yeah. Did I ever cry? No. Like, I'm not a bitch, you know, but it's like, I took that and I was like, well, that fucking sucks, you know, and it's like, yeah, and they always liked my friends. Oof. And this is how shady it gets is sometimes when that happened, it was because that guy liked my friend and stuff like that. So that did not help with confidence for sure. And we always talk about how I didn't have confidence then. That's probably part of it as well. Confidence is attractive, right? And so anyways, so that happened a lot. So that's kind of where it started. And then when I hit 18, I think the glow up started happening, right? Like slightly. People were kind of a little bit more interested then, right? And so then I had this crush on this guy. We're not going to name names, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so worked at the movie theater. When I worked at the movie theater, that's when things really popped off for me. And so we were just friends, right? I had a lot of guy friends. I really did. That was just me. And that's, I still
the
true do.
Thing is like, yeah, on a real level, you ain't a pick me bitch. Like, yeah, you truly are. Like, I've just noticed a lot of men gravitate towards you because you're just like, oof, yeah. And that's crazy too, because a lot of like today's stigma where it's like, I don't know, man, guys just seem to be my friend more than girls. And for you, that's true. But you ain't a pick me bitch. You're just a genuine OG bitch.
Yeah. Story. I always like, rode bikes with this. The guys.
I'm like, I fuck with this girl. We shoot hoops on Tuesdays. Yeah. Like, you are. You're not that girl. It's just like, I don't know. I just, you know, girls are so much drama. That ain't you.
Yeah,
so I totally, and I remember meeting you and being like, fuck, these baseball guys gravitate towards your ass.
But none
like,
of them wanted to be with me.
Like, I need to be her friend. Like, oh, fuck.
Oh, you're friends with him? Cool. Oh, shit. Yeah, I am. You need his number?
Yeah, dude. Oh, man.
No, but that is true. Like, none of them wanted to date me, though, and that hurts because I definitely had crushes on those guys, right? And so we're not even there yet. So what really got me was before I moved to Idaho, I thought I was talking to somebody, right? And then everyone told me he liked me. Like, it was one of those. And I think he genuinely did like me, but he was a player. Classic. I've met a lot of those. And so we never had sex or anything like that, but we made out and stuff like that. But we would all hang out, a group of us in the movie theater, we'd go to a party. And everyone and myself thought we were dating, not exclusive. We're not official. And we're at a party once. And he was like hollering at this girl. And then they like disappeared and they were in the room. And so again, that's not cheating because you're not exclusive, right? Yeah. But that's where the confidence gets hit. And I'm 18. I'm so like, you know, and I'm pretty immature for an 18-year-old, I'll be honest. And I'm just like, that fucking sucks. And so it was very like games for me, emotional games, because they tell you one thing and then they do something else, you know? And so that went really bad. And then it was like, no, we're not together. We're just friends. I remember getting a text like that.
Friend,
I'm trying
friend,
to shorten friend, this up because it's like, friend. This stuff is pretty long.
Friend.
So, and that's probably the most angry I've ever felt. Probably not ever, but pretty close. I threw my phone because I was in the car, because on top of that, my parents told me we were moving to Idaho. So fuck Idaho. I'm just kidding.
God, the pain.
And so it was just like all of it together was just like, oh my gosh. And then he was that fool when I moved to Idaho, he would send me random text messages, miss you, like dumb shit like that. And I'm like, but what's the point though? And then he sent me a message and said, I regret not seeing you before you left. Bitch, just all this fucking stuff. And I'm like, and I'm intoxicated at this point. It's the dorms. I'm drinking you all the fucking time. This is the most I've drank in my life, just drinking my sorrows away and getting these messages, you know? And so cut to, I would go back to California. Same fucking games. He's like, you're that girl. Like, you know, like just because I just started getting hotter and hotter. Let's be real. Like, I just kept going. And so he's just like, God damn. And I'm like, oh, but you didn't want me then. Like, you know, and so just things like that. And you were actually, you've met
that
him.
Dan Hoes didn't want
you've
me.
Met him. Remember, you were driving.
Yeah.
And so, So he was all about me then. So it's like just those kinds of things really fuck with you, and you don't know that they fuck with you until now. So that was that guy. We're done with that. That's over. What's even crazier is that fool came back into my life right before I met Kayla. And so things just get really weird for me in those things, because he tried to kind of holler at me when we were in California. That was when you took me on that trip to see one of Kobe's last games. And then when we got back from that trip, I met Kayla on April 1st or April 2nd after our housewarming party. Mm-hmm. Isn't that wild? Mm-hmm. Kind of wild. Anyway, so that's one rejection. That was some weird shit. And then, I mean, the only other one I wanted to kind of hit on that was worse than that mentally for me was in college. And this person was very possessive.
Fuck that fool.
Very possessive.
Fuck
and
you, fool.
Stop.
I'll be listening, watching. Fuck you, fool. I fuck
taught
you.
Taught me a lot, though.
I fuck
taught
you
me a
just
lot.
To get back at you for my best friend. Like, that's how stop, bitch. I should've ate your ass up like sushi.
Ugh. Well, what's funny is one of our friends gave him a BJ, if we're going to be kind of appropriate. That was fucking rough. I was a part of that. But she didn't know. She didn't know. She didn't know the backstory of all of it. It's fine.
I liked him. I also remember, too, like a little fucking side tangent. I remember we weren't really friends, but we were feeling each other out a little bit. And I remember that fucking caramel kid, like that light-skinned black guy. Fucking oof.
Oh, yeah.
You remember?
I had a crush on him.
Oh, rejection. Yeah, you were like, I have a crush on him. I was like, bitch, me too. He pretty. Yeah. And I remember we were at a fucking party. And I remember that feeling of being like, I know Val likes him, but I don't really know Val. I don't really know him. And him and I were like, fucking vibing. And I remember too going into the bathroom at that baseball house. Yeah. It was a fucking party. He was a baseball dude. Oh God. What was his name?
I don't think we say people's fucking names like that.
Whatever. Anyways, I remember going in there in the bathroom and I was like, oh yeah, nope, we're deaf. Sorry, Val. Like, I remember radiating, like,
and we weren't friends. That's not on you.
Fine,
yeah,
dude.
He was,
oof, he was fine. And I remember he whipped out his dick and it was uncircumcised.
Oh,
dude,
I remember you telling me that.
That was like the first uncircumcised cock I'd ever seen. And I remember just being like, and he's like, what, you never seen anything uncut? And I was like,
uncut.
Fucking all them Canadians, bro. All them Canadian baseball boys were uncut. I saw like 3 uncircumcised dicks that year. 4, that Australian dude. Bro, I saw so many uncut dicks that year. I just remember like sucking it, trying to figure like what the fuck has
just
happened.
Just petting it.
Just, I'm like a Tootsie Roll. It's gonna fucking, how many layers does it take? But I just remember like literally that's so funny. I was sucking his dick and I just remember being like, oh, I'm sorry, Val. Fuck. I was such a shit.
But we weren't really close or anything yet,
but I just remember also, you being like, God
it
damn.
It doesn't really count. Like, we're not 5 years old. So it's like, I like him. Like, obviously, he didn't like me. It was just like, yeah, I mean, he's hot, right? I don't know. It's one of those things where, again, when you think someone's hot or, you know, and you have a crush on them and they don't like you back, like, you got to fucking take it. Sucks. Like, I don't know. That's where I'm at. I mean, that happened a lot in college for sure. But again, if you don't exuberate, and I really think about this, if you don't exuberate confidence and the confidence that I have now and know who I am and all that, if you don't exuberate that, what are you expecting? You know, I don't, unless you're just like banging off the bat, 6-pack, like, you know,
that's
it's just like,
too, is like, it goes to show you how far confidence and personality carries you. If you're fucking funny and confident and you're fucking whatever, honestly, game on. I will fuck that guy or that girl any day who shows up for themselves versus a guy who's like, I have fucked shredded ass motherfuckers with no personality.
Yeah.
And they just present themselves. They're like, yeah, dude, I'm cut. Like, let's go. And you're like, okay, well, I got to take this vessel for a ride. Like, of course. But the fun you have, like, you know, that guy, that fucking guy, I almost broke my surface off on his dick. The only reason I slept with him,
he was not cute. Yeah.
But God, funny and a vibe. He was like, this is me. And I was like, I'm attracted to that. Damn. I don't know what it is, but yeah. And honestly, if there's anything you can teach yourself, I think that's the biggest one. And your confidence has just gone through the roof since then. Like, it's so much more, it's less of a reactive and so proactive because it's like, they don't fucking want me. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, and I was starting, this isn't some sob story that I was just this fucking loner of no, like, nobody likes me. Let's be real. And then when you think back, there was a lot of people that would have probably had sex with me, but I didn't like them. It was nobody I was into. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just was like, oh, they're cute, you know?
Ships in the night.
But stuff like that. But back to the motherfucker.
Fuck that fool.
I hope this helps girls that are younger, like, to not let someone play fucking games and be possessive, because that stuff is real. When someone's possessive, you think, ooh, they really do like me. Like, yeah, they love me.
Flag,
yeah, it's a red flag. So red flags all over the place with this one.
That's a red flag.
My maid of honor, Shayla, was there for all of it because we were roommates in the dorms. And so she met these cross-country players. Fucking cross-country. Cool. And so they would come over, like, kind of just hang out, whatever. And of course, this person's attractive, like, for sure. Like, to me. How about for to me? And so, but then he would play that game like when you're young and they're like mean to you, that, oh, I think he likes me. He's mean to me.
That's
kind of how it started. And then we were like in his dorm. And of course, you know, where things get going. And I was like, no, I'm not doing, I can't do this. Like, I want to do this so bad, but I can't do this because I had never had sex at that point. And I was like, something told me don't do it. And I'm so glad I didn't because goddamn, could you imagine if I did? Mm. Could you imagine the stage 5 clinger I already was that I would have become like then? And so after that, he treated me really weirdly. And I mean, I think he would even agree, like he was extra mean and it was really odd. But then and he would still hang out with Shayla, but like not be super friendly towards me. And I'm just like, what the fuck? And then it kind of changed. And then in that, we became really close, like all three of us. But I mean, me and him were the closest. It took some time. And then he had a girlfriend back home. Okay. Mm. And then he also had a girlfriend at our college, like in the city of our college. She didn't go to our college, like she was just there. And then he would ask me, this is where it gets real weird. He would ask me to go with him places with his current girlfriend. And I'm just like, why am I going? But then in my crazy mind, because I was so into him, I would go because I'm like, well, time spent is time spent, yeah, right?
Your space, I mean, you, bro.
Yeah, like, I just want to be that's with you. And then like when she would go back to her house, he didn't stay with her. He would stay in my room. This is where it gets weird, and a lot of people don't know that. He would stay in my room and sleep in my bed, but not sexually, like completely non-sexual situation. It was that one time that I just talked about. Never happened again. It was literally just that one time, and it's like super just, he had his own trauma, let's be real, but he wanted to sleep in my bed. And of course, it's comforting for everybody, right? Like, you don't want to be alone. And so, again, he would come in, and this was like, we just left the door open because we knew he was going to come at a certain time when he left his girlfriend's house. How fucked is that? Did she know he slept in my bed? No. And that's probably the shadiest I've ever felt, but it wasn't sexual. It was like a emotional thing.
He just, you are such a safe space for him. He was like, I got to lay in this.
Yeah. Like, and so then, again, had the girlfriend back home, girl, and then he had the girlfriend at the school-ish. Then he was fucking all the bitches at school, and I knew about all of it. And then he started fucking this girl on our softball team, and that's when it really got me because it's somebody I knew. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I almost tried to sabotage it. I don't feel very good about this, but I did. And I was just like, I got real possessive myself and ended things for them. And he's like, and he just laid into me. And he's like, you, this is none of your fucking business, like all of that. I was so upset. And then he told me to meet at Denny's. Shayla brought me. It was with Shayla. She was like the mediator. This is a Denny's restaurant. I can't make this up. It's raining and I've been crying. I have my hood on and I'm just like, I have no idea what's going on, you know? And he sat there and he told me, he's like, and this is the thing, and I'll never forget this because you don't know what's genuine and what's not. Like, you don't know. And he's like, you have to stop, like, we're not going to be together. Like, you know, like it's not going to happen. And I was like, but like, why? Like, you know, and Shayla's just rubbing my back. Oh, Shayla, you're just the best. She's just rubbing my back. And I'm just like, not understanding why, like, why not? Why don't you want me? Like, why not? And he's like, I'm not good enough for you. And you can hear that. And people have heard that, but people say that and they don't really mean it. But I genuinely, truly believe he meant that. Mm-hmm. And he's right. He was right. He was completely right.
Fucking sack
but in that
shit.
Moment, in that moment, that didn't feel right
it's
to
okay.
me.
I'll lower my standards
no, like,
for
I
you.
Still want
I just
want to
be loved.
Please. Please. So anyway, so after that, that was so emotional for me at that point. And then things semi went back to normal as friends. Still slept in my fucking bed. Still, I mean, we're talking, nothing changed on that front. Anything he needed, I was there, vice versa. Then it gets weird when I start talking to somebody, right? Fucking this fool. We're not going into him. There was no rejection there on that. And so I start staying in his room. I start doing whatever I'm doing. I'm getting calls. My phone's fucking blowing up. And that's some shit because that's that red flag / toxic. Talk about toxic. This was toxic. And then the person I'm with, like, why is he calling you? And I'm like, I just got to answer it. You know, and I answer and he's like, where are you? What are you doing? Who are you with? And I'm just like, so then the summer hits from there. Same shit. what are you doing? Who are you with? And I would tell him, like, it was just that we're not even in the same city anymore. He's back home, like, you know, and then, like, he's been to my house. Let's not remember. He's met my parents. Mm-hmm. We've gone out, you know, places with our friends, and we all stay at my house, and he slept in my bed. My parents were cool with that. They're so great. So, I mean, I could just go on for days, but it's just pure toxic and rejection. And so, even after college, same shit, just... I know it took me a long time to get over it. I will admit that, you know, that it kind of like really went into my 20s for sure. And then he finally apologized 6 years later from 6 years later. We were at Suds, one of our favorite places back then. And I'm at the bar bawling. And I'm like, another shot of SoCo, please. Cause that's when I was still on. So I was like, SoCo, they're like, okay, and they're just handing me my shot because I'm just, I mean, it was healing at the same time. It was like closure, you know, and he just apologized and basically reiterated the same thing that he was not good enough for me. And, you know, he loved me because I feel like he truly did. Like we loved each other as whether it's friends or whatever it may be. But that story, I mean, there's a lot more to that, but I just wanted to kind of make it shorter. But I think overall with that, that really set me off into where I am today in the sense of I am really amazing. And so it's like, I'm tough to deal with too, but I think that led me to find somebody that's so amazing to me and treats me how I should be treated. I've never been treated correctly, whether it's a dating situation or, you know, oh no, we're just friends, but we're like not, you know, I've just never been treated correctly until now. And I know that sounds crazy because I was single for so long, but I just think I went through the right journey because what I have now will never compare to any of those motherfuckers that I thought were so great. You know what I mean? So, and I'm engaged, like, and I'm going to be married, and it's going to be fine.
And like the difference between, you know, man and woman, but like here's the crazy shit about rejection. Like I do remember and I recall a couple of times that pain. And the thing that trips me out about it is like, as parents, do your kids a solid this next generation, and you need to teach your children how to handle rejection because it's so closely tied to self-worth that it's hard to differentiate the two. And when you understand the brain, right, the neural pathways in your brain, the brain, the human brain can't differentiate between the reality, the physical and the internal, right? So when you speak something, it's just the same as thinking it, man. And the pain receptors that you feel when you've been rejected is just as bad as receiving physical pain. And your brain cannot separate the two. And God, does it fucking hurt because you're tied to the self-worth and what you are. And you go into this introspect, like, what's wrong with me? Like a country song, bro. Like, what's wrong with me? Why don't you want me? Instead of like, oh, bro, you don't fuck my way. That's a you problem. I'm a vibe. Mm-hmm. Like, could you imagine? And that's the thing, too. It trips them up to where they're like, holy shit, she thinks she a vibe. Yeah, that's good, man.
Yeah.
I release you with love. I love that.
Yeah, that's like, a good one. That's how we are now. If anyone tried to reject it, I'd be like, bitch. Okay, bye.
Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. That's okay. I was giving you a minute, though. And not to be cocky, be humble about it, but that's the biggest thing is being able to receive rejection will make you so much better as an individual, more attractive in the long run, and ultimately, you are going to get the benefits and the healing and the humble pie taste of rejection without this self-loathing and without this, what is wrong with me in this deep dive of fucking depression. It's almost like getting feedback. You didn't get the job because you need a better resume, or you didn't get this because you're not ready. I don't want you as a partner because X, Y, Z. I'm not fucking ready. I just got out of a relationship, or I got fucking trauma, bitch. I'm fucking this bitch and sleeping in your bed. I'm messed up. I release you. You know what I mean? So I would say, like, to all the parents out there who have kids coming up, and even those out there in this transition years are like, why the fuck doesn't he want me, bro? Why doesn't she want me, bro? That's the wrong question, man. Like, the wrong question is, all right, what do we take away from this? How can I handle rejection? And that's the thing, too, is there is nothing nastier and a quick and like that grosses you out more than the guy's like, fuck you anyways, you fat bitch. Like, I just remember getting so much toxicity. And the thing is this is going to cure this never-ending fucking cyclical cycle of the fear women have for rejecting men. And that blows my mind, is that our fear is we're going to get fucking ended. Their fear is embarrassment and rejection. Like, one of their number one fears of the opposite sex is that men will be humiliated. And ours is murder. And so that's what cracks me up, is how many times in my life I've looked back, I've given a guy my number, my Snapchat, mm-hmm. my DM, whatever it is, in that moment, because I knew for a fact if I told that fool no, or I've hinted at no, I'm not interested, and I just feel his hackles getting up, you know what I mean? Like, you're trying to leave from the bar, and they're like, come on, just give me your fucking number, come on.
Yeah.
It's like, here, yeah. I will give you this number so that you don't embarrass yourself and me, you don't hurt anybody, because you're fucking stupid. And if you just took the responsibility and the onus as a parent to teach your son and your daughters how to handle rejection, we could end this fear-mongering of, like, almost this obligation to give this information. I'm not interested. Why can't they take a no? I can take a no. You know how many women have told me no? Oh, quite a few. Am I bummed about it? Yeah. But I literally sit here, I'm like, fuck, they're lost. Dude. I would have just servitude your queen body. Like, I think about how much I would love and appreciate your vessel, and that sucks for you to lose out. Our spirits just didn't align.
The pleasurable she would have gave you.
Bro, the fucking energy I would have given. Like, God, we could have shared that space, my girl. That's okay. Yeah. I don't understand. And I wasn't taught how to take rejection. I wasn't. And there's a lot of times in my life where I've introspected, but, like, throughout my dating career, I've never been broken up with. I've always done the breaking up, and that part sucks.
What a dream for you, huh?
In a way, like, this last one with B, he forced my hand, so it was almost like he broke up with me because he's so fucking stupid.
It was more of like it turned into a mutual.
Yeah, to mutual. So I'm like, damn, we just can't be together. Yeah. I get it. But at the end of the day, like, if you could serve this world with, like, one purpose, fucking teach your kids how to handle rejection and also how to respectfully give rejection. Mm-hmm. That was another thing I missed out on, is a lesson of just leading on, bro. I'm a tease. I'm a flirt. I love the chase. I love the game. And then before I know it, they're like, we're dating. And I'm like, I'm going to suck this guy's dick downstairs. You can party upstairs if you want, though. Like,
that's real. It's real.
And that's the thing, is, like, I have put so much gray area between it, because I was like, damn, I just can't bring myself to say no, because I do want to hang out with him, and I do want his friendship, and I do want this. I do want to fuck him, but I want to fuck other people too. And I'm non-monogamous. I didn't know that at the time. I was like, I don't believe in monogamy. It's not even a thing. I struggled. It's just like, but I remember the first time I remember getting rejected at Suds. Do you remember this, bro? There was a fucking
football. Why do we have so many great stories, bro, from Suds?
I used to drink a lot. Oh my God, bro. This was one of the most, I just remember the, like, the fucking pain. I was buzzed. I was feeling good. And there was that fucking football player. He's a short king. Okay. Short king. He was black. He's fucking in the NFL now. But, like, I remember seeing him, and you're like, yo, that's so-and-so. Cause you're all, and I was like, oh, that is so-and-so, huh? He was eating a burrito. He was eating a burrito, and he had, like, three or four of his guy friends, and he was, like, on the opposite side of the bar. And I was trying to do eyes.
Are we talking,
like,
about
dude, bro. This is the time so I got rejected by fucking
K. He is not cute, by the way.
Ninja Turtle looking motherfucker, okay? But that boy served me the biggest slice of humble pie I think I've ever received. I remember, like, trying to make eyes at him.
He's into small girls.
He's into little. He's a short king, and I was like, short kings are my fucking realm. Like, I just remember being like, show SoCo, like, let's go. I remember him eating a burrito. He had around a couple of his friends around. He was across the bar. He wasn't really giving me the time of day. And I was like, all right. I was like, should I go talk to him? You know, like, you're all hyping me up. You're like, yeah, go talk to him. I was like, all right, I think I got this. I go around the bar, and I remember coming up to him. I'm like, hey. And he was just like, hey. And I remember I was like, you want to get a drink? You want to dance? And he looks at me. He takes a huge bite of his burrito. Chews it. And I'm like, like, looking at his friend, the longest fucking chew. I'm just, no. And all of his friends were like, oh. And I was like, okay. Thank you so much. Good luck with your season. Just fucking. And I come back to the bar, just fucking tail tucked, and you guys were like, ooh, do you want a shot?
I honestly didn't think that it would happen. But
yeah, she's like, yeah. Oh, I was like, fucking home run, dude. This fish in a barrel. No.
But you have to also think that, too, is like, think of how many bitches come up to him back then.
He was swimming through pussy.
Yeah, I'm sure. And he was just like, these bitches just...
BSU royalty, bro.
That was dumb.
And I just remember being like, oh, my God. It's like a local celebrity. Oh, my God. I just I could fuck this guy in my sleep. No. That humble pipe.
Oh.
I just remember, and I just waiting for him to finish fucking chewing, being like, yeah, bitch, like, whatever. No. That was one of the first times, one of the main times. I got rejected a lot in high school. I remember that, like, because I just remember I had beautiful friends, and they were into my friends. They weren't into me. And, like, having friends like a Fitz, dude.
Yeah. But that's what I was going to say. Like, I had people like that where they're going to go for them
first.
They're
going to go for your hot friends, man.
It is what it is.
And it's hard. And
they dress different. Mm-hmm. Their parents bought them the crop top that you weren't allowed to have.
My confidence wasn't there. It wasn't until college where I really started stepping in, until, honestly, after college, where I was like, oh, dude. I'm a fucking vibe, dude. I'm sexy. Watch out, bro. And it was just snipe city from there. But, like, that was the biggest thing. And I also remember getting rejected by this fucking Tinder date. That was really hard because I was on a Tinder streak, man.
Who knows?
On a streak, and I was like, okay, yeah. I'm kind of bored. Like, I'm just, like, fucking my way through these guys, and I'm like, okay, whatever. I meet him at the curb, and I pull up, and I remember I seeing his Jeep, and he's got his fucking last name blasted on the back of his Jeep, bro. I was like, oh, fuck, that's the asshole I'm meeting right now for lunch. Like, this sucks. I get out, I go in, he's like 6'3", fucking beautiful, definitely a country kid, fucking, you know, tight Wranglers and shit. I was like, okay, that's a vibe, like, I'll deal with it. And he was not happy to meet me. I almost felt like I catfished him, and I was like, no, I fucking didn't. Like, if anything, I'm a reverse catfish, which I've gotten that feedback authentically, like, wow, you're way better in person. And I remember sitting down, and we just were not vibing, and I was like, this is weird, you're hot, I'm hot, why aren't we doing this? And I remember, like, this whole time just before he was drinking a beer, and I was like, yeah, I'll take something to drink. And we're getting through. I ordered, like, a small salad or some shit. And I remember he's not making eye contact with me. He's just fucking off. I'm trying to pull fucking convo out of him. And I just remember he was watching MLB on the back of the screen. I was like, oh, fucking Matt. Baseball. I got that in my back pocket. I was like, I talk all day about some MLB. And I was like, oh, you into baseball? And he was just looking at the TV, and he was just like, no.
He was just watching,
and I was like,
look at you.
And I just remember being like, this is, I'm gonna get the check, bro. And I had money, so I was like, fuck it, fuck you, man. I got my fucking 20 spot for my $10 salad, like, fuck you, I'm out. I was like, man, I'm just not vibing. And he's like, all right, yep, like, just so, like, cold. And I just remember being like, holy sh-, leaving that restaurant, like, laughing to myself, being like, damn, what a dick. And I remember talking to other girls, and they're like, oh, so-and-so. And I was like, yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, he's a fucking douche. And I was like, yeah, man. Humble pie. Like, I am tired of this humble pie. And even in this current dating realm, like, being rejected by women is so much different than being rejected by men. And it's really hard because, like, the rejection that I'm feeling, and I won't even say, like, that fucking one night stand that I had, mm-hmm. right? I wasn't necessarily rejected in a way, because we had this mutual respect on that was a one night stand. We ain't dating each other is what it is, right? He hit me back up, and just the understanding of, like, this isn't going anywhere. But, like, to be respectful and say, this isn't going anywhere, I'm good. Like, I'm gonna protect my peace over here. Like, we just gotta part ways as friends. I have had to learn so much to give that respect. And I feel women leave me on red so often to where I'm like, girlfriend, just say it's not a thing. Just say we're not connecting. Just say I'm too busy for this right now. Just say you're not it. Like, just say like, whatever it is, so that I can move forward, because I'm trying to fish right now. I'm trying to see what you're about.
Yeah,
I'm putting energy into you right now. Just be straight up. What is that? And I have, and, like, that's the thing too, is even letting them know, like, yo, I'll receive a no. I'm a grown-ass woman. I can receive a no. If it's not here for you, it's not.
I feel like you're not, like, I know it's going to sound like I might get canceled, but I just don't think you're butch enough for some people.
Because I'm a breed, for sure.
I think that you're so feminine, but also you can be a little bit more masculine. But I think the girls that you're talking to want, like backwards hat fucking,
it's,
you know,
because
like,
that's, I, yeah,
that's what I'm valid thinking. Point. I'm just saying that's what I'm kind of,
I'm
thinking.
In between this yeah. this world right now to yeah. where like when I talk to like, because yes, I'll talk to a straight up butch lesbian, right? Because I like that vibe. I'm yeah. fucking okay, that's my vibe. They like a femme. They like yes. a super femme, and I'm a mask femme to where it's like, but I'm mask. I'm mask
too. But you're
too.
Not when you get dolled up and you get ready and you go out and you're like, I'm going to go get a drink. I'm going to do this. And you're all done up. You're not mask just because you're big and broad because
yeah,
you're
strong. I think
strong,
it's also my
like,
essence. Like, I'm a like very masculine essence.
But you're
like,
not masculine while you're out. Yeah. I don't think you put off that vibe. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. I think you want to be mask, but...
I definitely have that.
You have
streak.
The mask, like in the way you talk.
Yeah,
you are mm-hmm. like very in control. Like, let me start this conversation. Yeah. Blah blah blah. But
and I don't like, and I'm not a switch bitch. Yeah. Like I'm not. Like I'm not a dom. Like I'm not. I'm very much not like that. But I can guarantee you with the Rico, with the fucking Ruby Rose.
Yeah.
Hi. Like, yeah. Yes. Like, of course. And I've been in my masculine. Like, I've dated men so long. Who have forced me to be in my masculine because mm-hmm. they're not in their feminine. They can't, yeah. It's not a safe space for me to be my authentic feminine self. So I've yet to meet that woman who's like, bitch, this is safe. Be feminine. And I'm like, oh my God, I can be feminine if
you might
I want.
Meet someone tonight when you're Daphne.
Oh, fucking maybe.
You'll be so feminine.
Can I channel?
Being
I just
want
to channel this like fucking stud ass, like tatted neck on her calf, fucking ring. Oh, mama, I'm waiting. Bitch, come get me. I'll make you happy. Let's fucking go.
But she's not dating right now.
I'm not dating right now. So it's like, whatever.
But unless that bitch shows up somewhere.
But that's the thing, too, is I notice like lesbians mm-hmm. will truly be like, you bisexual, bitch, you're playing. Like, you were just dating a guy. You have kids with a guy. You're not serious. You're fucking playing, dude. Like, I'm a lesbian. I'm
you're
looking
hurt.
For,
you have trauma. You're playing.
Yeah, dude, you're yeah. playing. You're not real. And like, that's, I think the slack that I get as a bisexual or just bisexual, I'm speaking for myself. But like, I've noticed that true lesbian women are like, I don't fuck with you because you're playing games. You play both sides of the fence. You don't know what you want.
Because they don't want to be rejected by, they don't want to be rejected by you for a guy.
For a man.
Oh, they don't want that.
Double down on that rejection.
Because you would do some shit like that.
Yeah, dude.
You'd get bored and be like, I'm going back.
Yeah, seeing the energy with my baby daddy too, they'd be like, the fuck? Bro, and I could just, you playing games. Like, you got bored with your cis white shit. You're coming over here to try it out. This isn't serious. You're bi anyways. You're just dabbling. And it's like, no, genuinely, I'm so painfully bisexual, girl. I could love you just as much as I could
you
love
totally
him.
You totally are. And that's coming from her best friend. She's not lying.
Fuck, I ain't lying, girl. I
she'll try anything,
you.
I promise.
But that's the thing, yeah. And then, like, when it comes to men, like, fish in a fucking barrel, and that's really hard. It's like, getting rejected by a man is just, it's different. I understand it and I get it, and honestly it does happen few and far between for me, but at the end of the day, like, I respect you more. And honestly, I've seen some TikToks too, they're like, dude, it's actually kind of attractive when a man can handle rejection. Like, all right, sis, no thanks. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you come up and you're just like, oh, you're just not into it. All right, like, all right, release
that. It's a pleasure talking to you though.
And then you're like, hold on a second, he doesn't want me. Like, this what reverse psychology is this? But like, for me, it's just like, God, that mass respect, dude, thank you. And thank you for not making me feel unsafe about it. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck, your mama did good. Your dad did good. Like, good on you. So that's my big thing is like, dude, rejection is so a part of this. And there's actually a fucking, I saw this, I don't want to say anal disorder. I don't know, bro, but like, this fucking crazy shit. I was reading just about rejection, the statistics on rejection and like a bunch of shit and like, you know, how it piggybacks on physical pain mm-hmm. and all that shit. But I love this too. It's like rejection served a vital function in our evolutionary past. You know, in the hunter-gatherer past, being ostracized from our tribes was akin to a death sentence, as we're unlikely to survive for a long time. Evolutionary psychologists assume the brain developed an early warning system to alert us when we were at risk for ostracism. Because it was so important to get our attention, those who experienced rejection as more painful, i.e. because rejection mimicked physical pain in their brain, gained an evolutionary advantage. They were more likely to correct their behavior and consequently more likely to remain in the tribe. This probably also explains why we can relive and re-experience social pain more vividly than we can physical pain. Mm. And that's the thing is like human beings are so... we are one of our purposes as this human experience is to connect with other humans. And so that pain of saying, we don't connect, I don't want to connect with you, makes that like, fuck, what's wrong? Like, oh my God, it's so painful. But this fucking symptom, like, I was like, okay, what is, you know, rejection and all this shit. And there's this disorder that was, I don't know, kind of blew my mind. It's called RSD, rejection sensitive dysphoria. Ooh. And RSD and rejection sensitivity are closely linked, but there are subtle differences to understand them. But emotional dysregulation, you know, the human brain has an elaborate network of connections. And so as you get older, your brain learns to regulate those signals. But emotional dysregulation happens when your brain cannot properly regulate those signals related to your emotions. And without that ability to manage them, it's as if the TV volume is, you know, control is stuck at the disruptively high or painful sound level and you can't fucking turn it down. And in effect, emotional dysregulation is when your emotions are too loud for you to manage, causing feelings of being overwhelmed, uncomfortable, or even in pain. And so this emotional dysregulation is just feeding right into like this dysregulation on both rejection sensitivity and RDS. But dysphoria is these people basically feeling severe anxiety. Like it's basically feeling rejection on crack and all these negative emotions, bro, their body shuts down to where they're like, holy shit, having trouble seeing non-response, like non-positive interactions. They don't even want to interact with other people or even take another stab at it because that pain hurts so bad. It's truly like when you fucking jump off something and you twist your fucking ankle, you break it and you're like, I'm never jumping off a cliff again. Like I'm never making that hike again. And it's so crazy because yes, it's an overreaction, but it's an overreaction by your brain and you can't even help it. And so some of you out there are like, oh my gosh, why do I have such a visceral response to being rejected? Like, why is that? Something to look into, bro. It might not be you. It might be your brain. Also might be a lot of fucking trauma from your kids, like from your childhood, rejection from your parents, rejection from your siblings, rejection from your family circle, bro. Those you trust the most saying, we don't want to connect with you. That shit really fucks you up. And it's something where you don't notice that till you're adult and you're like, God, why does every single time hurt like I'm getting stabbed in the face? Something to look into and reflect on, like truly, honestly. And like your body cells, that's another thing too, is just speaking positively towards yourself. Actually, this weekend, I was going to tell you, this girl, this fucking chick said something that blew my goddamn mind. And I keep saying it over and over again. She was talking about how, you know, that study, the Japanese study where this man spoke to water kindly, and he also spoke to some water very poorly and was, you know, praying gratitude towards a glass of water. And you can do this with rice. You can do this with plants, right? It's a great activity for your children. And again, your brain cannot separate what's, you know, vocally said and what's said in your mind. So he's speaking kindly to this water, and under the microscope, this water is clear. It has lattice work. It's beautiful. And the water he's speaking ill towards is dingy, does not show lattice work. And the same thing with plants, they will die if you give them that energy. And your body is made up of 66% water, approximately. Be careful how you speak to it.
Oh, that's crazy.
Like, holy shit, this vessel's made of water, bitch. 66%, approximately. Men have a little less, women have a little more, depending on. That's a lot of water. And when you're speaking out loud, I'm not good enough, saying in my head, what's wrong with me? Your body, your atoms, your cells, they're receiving that frequency. It's sound, and it is so important when you go through a rejection to have the proper filter on when you're really breaking it down, being like, what did I learn from this experience? What can I take away from it? But that's just fucking higher self, dude. That's hard. Yeah. And you do yourself a favor as a parent. You teach your kids how to do that, because that shit is real. And it's going to come in handy when they don't make varsity. It's going to come in handy when they don't get the
fucking
job.
Maybe they should have tried harder.
Oh my God. That's what I'm telling you, bro. Should have gotten the gym like I told you. Yeah. No, you're not ready. What is that telling you? What was their feedback? Your fucking throws are all over the place,
you
bitch.
What do you mean you didn't make varsity?
What do you mean?
Don't come home unless you make varsity.
Bro. fucking pack your bag.
I'm sorry, that's funny.
True, right? Or like you make varsity, but you're benched kind of shit, right? That's
don't know what that forms of rejection. Like.
Another form of rejection is like not making it into certain academic, right? You didn't get the scholarship. You didn't get the job. You didn't get the fucking, you didn't get into that college.
Could you imagine though? I'm just thinking of myself because I mean, this is about us, not about anybody else, but I am very rarely rejected in life. So to be rejected in like a love life was very hard because I'm so used to getting pretty much everything I want, you know? And I was spoiled in general, so that was pretty hard, I'd say. Like thinking back, I'm like, well, I didn't really get rejected in other things, but I can't imagine getting rejected in other things. And that.
Yeah, dude.
And I was thinking like, maybe that's why I'm so healthy is because I'm so fucking conceited. I'm not humble at all. So I'm just telling myself how amazing I am all the fucking time.
I'm a fucking winner. Yeah. I'm a lucky bitch. I'm ace. Yeah, dude.
No, I'm starting to think. I'm like, shit. And people talk shit for me being conceited, but really I'm just having positive self-talk every day.
Yeah, dude.
Don't get twisted sometimes, but I mean, majority of the time.
You get humbled. Don't get me wrong.
Sometimes I do. I get kind of like, ooh, you're right. I can't take any criticism.
Yeah, you're right.
But it's because I'm positive self-talking right now and you're telling me negative shit.
I just can't be in my circle. Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Coming back to that, talking about people that do get rejected, though, like you have to have the right support system and friends around you to kind of bring you out of that. Because if you don't, that's how people kind of become depressed and like thinking what's wrong with them. Like you were saying, they kind of can't get out of that hole. And I can't imagine like, but I never felt that way. Like, but again, I have a really good support system to where I never was like in my room with my blankets and just like self-loathing, you know what I mean? So I don't know where that comes from or why I wasn't like that. I can't tell you. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like I've always been such a happy person, even though shit's not going right, you know? So I don't know, but not everyone has that luxury, you know?
Oh, bro, you've had to pull me off the couch several times. Like, I've had to call several friends around. I'm like, fuck. I remember even this first breakup with B, I remember just being so fucking sad. And it was a different type of rejection because, he didn't break up with me, right? But he forced my hand, which means the choice was no longer mine.
It still feels rejection because he can't change for you.
You chose this over me and the family. You chose alcohol. You chose substance over fucking us, bro. Damn, I'm not even as good as alcohol. And it's like, no, honey. And so that was, I think that's the hard. And then like the fine line between turning on oneself, like you got to be so careful with that because when you start rejecting yourself, you are on a straight path to hopelessness and it's very scary. It's hard to get out of that. And you do, you need a great support system and people are just going to come and be in your space and just be like, bruh. Oof, I'm here. I hold space for this. Let's mourn that. Let's learn from it. But damn, it hurts. Because, you just got your fucking arm broken. Like, goddamn it. Like, I'd rather have my arm broken because it's tangible. I can see it, you know?
And then you can't overthink your arm being broken because your arm's fucking broken. It's in a little fling. Like,
we just got to take care of it and heal.
Being rejected, the overthinking that comes with that, and I'm just an overthinker in general, so I'd say I'd probably be just spiraling in my mind.
Psychological warfare.
Never, like, said it out loud. Like, you know, like, my parents didn't know all that was happening, and I was fairly young, you know, and it's like that, thinking that over and over and over, not being able to turn those thoughts off is probably like, well, wait, he did call me. So that means he cares. Okay, that's one. Oh, well, we're going to go here. You know what I mean? Like it's insane. It's kind of insanity when you really think about it, thinking about all those things.
And if you don't fucking heal that and you jump right into something that the next motherfucker is like, where it is. Like you, you're like,
oh, that's where it is.
I'm ready, you're right. I'm ready to receive your love. And it's like, bitch, no, you're just hurting. You don't hurt. You wouldn't. That's the thing. I look back on relationships. I'm like, I wouldn't have fucked with that fool if I wasn't so hurt from the fool previous. Like,
oh, preach. God, that's a good one.
This is a perfect example. It was fucking Sandy and B. Like,
back to back.
Was like, Flower Child and B. Like,
hey, I can't even say that. I didn't jump to anybody else because no one else wanted me. In that moment. Wait, I take it back. Nobody wanted me that I wanted.
Yeah.
Sorry. Because there are some motherfuckers I was like,
you put it out. Yeah, dude. They both did. There were some people who were like, I'd fuck with Val. I just ain't fucking with you. Sorry about it.
Are you going bald? Because she's not into it.
She's not into that.
Fuck, I was so superficial.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Now I have a white country girl. Mm. What are the odds? Honestly, like, the stuff that we fucking wanted 10 years ago is not even close to what we have currently want. Not even close. That shit's not real. Don't follow your little fucking checklist. It's not real. Checklist isn't real. Your non-negotiables, not fucking real, because you will fucking negotiate, okay? I'm just saying. I think that stuff's so not real anymore. Mm-hmm. I used to think, well, Amanda, you said you would never date anyone that smokes. Like, that was your that was your non-negotiable. You told me, and I took that. I was like, but Amanda, that's your
Bible.
But you said non-negotiables are like, because you were so serious. You preached that to everyone. Well, you had to have your non-negotiables, and then you fucking went... And just
I'll take it. Oh, you smoke a lot. Are you going to quit? Yeah, babe.
I'll quit for sure.
Okay. Well, as long as you quit.
That too, your smells. You're like, he's smoking.
He's fucking smoking.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Anyway, I'm a witch. It's fine. I'm a fucking wizard.
But anyways, don't follow that or you will just not
I do believe succeed. In like creating a list to manifest what you want. But at the end of the day, your non-negotiables is like fucking negotiate. Don't get me wrong. There's a couple now where I'm like, non-negotiable.
Is he a murderer? Right? Okay, no. Non-negotiable. But
or like it's mostly turned into red flags. It's like, are these red flags heated warnings? Are these things that I'm willing, is this a beige flag for me? Is this something I'm willing to overlook or is this something I'm willing to accept them as they are? Or is this an absolute red flag no go for me, man? So yeah, that was interesting. Fucking no smoking. Fuck that fool, dude. Oh man.
Moral of the story is, if you get rejected, pick yourself up and try
again. Baby girl, baby boy, it's a part of life, man. Yep. Do yourself a favor if you're struggling with rejection, you have a visceral response to it, you got to do some self-reflection on that, and it's no judgment. It's part of life. If you can't lose, you don't deserve to win. Ooh. And that's just it. That's just it.
But they really are not good enough for you.
They're
if
not.
They reject you and it hurt in it a hurtful it. Way, they are the not frequencies the are person. Off.
Yeah,
I promise.
The timing's not right. It's just this is fucking the timeline you're in right now, and the fucking it ain't right. Don't force that square peg round hole. Don't you know what I mean? So, yeah, you gotta lose to learn how to win, man. Because then when you do,
I just love that quote right now.
Because when you do, dude, the appreciation for that victory, like, oh my God.
It's the love that you will find, you'll find it past that, like what you deserve, as you swear. Are.
For the right person, that person just matches your frequency and you're like, there it is, there's home, dude. And you can just live in it. It is great. But yes, all this to say, thank you guys for joining us on this episode of Real Talk Sundays, Rejection. And I would love to actually hear other people's rejection stories.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. If you could write us and tell us like the fucking worst rejection stories, I would love to read that shit.
Not
like,
that we love that for you, but we love to hear about
it. Dude, yeah, dude. You're not alone.
Yes, like, you're not alone. That's what you're this not was about. Alone. Yeah.
And I love, honestly, like hearing humble people. I will say like a guilty pleasure, an itch I got to scratch is seeing someone so beautiful or like celebrity. Who get fucking rejected, bro. You're like, oh, thank God. This is all the human experience. You're not only going to be the most beautiful person in the fucking world. You're going to get rejected. You're going to get rejected by that one person or that one, yes, that one individual, whether it's relationship, family, doesn't matter. You are going to. It's a part of this life. And so I would just love to read it because I'm like, God, we can commiserate, but also we can appreciate together. I just want to hear it. Ugh, fuck. But today's... Let's see. What's today's artist? Any final thoughts, Val?
No.
Fucking thank you for sharing, dude.
I really shortened those up. I don't know if they make sense. Sorry,
peeps. OG, man. I just remember that. Those memories.
Don't take me back.
God.
Don't take me back to that.
Fuck.
Ooh, ask me what I would have done different now in that situation. Or should we save that for another, like...
How we got? You got two, like, you got a few minutes. Yeah, okay. What would you have done? Looking back.
Ask me, like, a more deep question than what would you do differently.
Like, honestly.
Because you know it.
If you were to go back and visit yourself, right, 17, 18, you're in college, you're in this. Yeah, what would you have said to yourself? What would you have been like, girl, advice, like, here we are. Like, how would you have done it differently?
I don't know if I could, do a spell and wish I was more confident. I don't think I can do that or would do that, you know? But I mean, that's probably the biggest thing is to have the confidence that I have now, but I don't think that's what was my dream. I don't know. That's so hard.
Like, go back to yourself and be like, Val, like
snap out of it.
Girl.
Yeah.
you are fucking beautiful.
Yeah. And I have a personality. That's great. Like, you know, like you have it. That's why people want to be around you.
Yeah.
But then I don't want it to, I almost wish I was a little bit more, this is going to sound very bad. I wish I was more, if I knew how to flirt and be like, I don't want to say like sexual, more sexual, but I wish I had more of that. Mm-hmm. If that, I would say, call that experience too. Like I was so sheltered, had no idea. No idea. My parents sheltered the shit out of me.
Fucking two of your best friends are the biggest fucking flirts you know.
Yeah, but
dude, me and Casey are insane.
I know.
We can't turn it off. Yeah. It's hard to turn it off.
And I don't have that. And so I wish, like even today, I still don't have that, but I'm confident. And so I wish I had something to that extent. I wish I could tell myself, like, don't be so sheltered and do whatever your parents say. Not be as superficial because there was a lot of people, like, you know, guys in general that were really good guys, but I was like, you know, like there wasn't even like a absolutely not kind of a thing.
No thanks.
But that's a society thing. That's what made us like that is all.
Oof. Well, on that note, and be sure to click on the link in our bio to listen to this week's artist, OK, by Jimmy Teflon.
Well, now I want to hear it.
This blows my mind, dude. Only like 15,000 likes, only like a 307 followers. He's crazy. Up and coming. This guy.
Did you reach out to him? I mean, what have we learned?
Fuck. Hey, Jimmy. OK, this is a banger. So enjoy it. Enjoy it.